Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol-Myers, the makers of Ipana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, present It's Time to Smile. With Kay Francis, Dinah Shore, Burt Gordon, the Mad Russian, Cookie Fairchild's Orchestra, the Ambassadors, yours truly, Harry Von Zell, and starring Eddie Cantor!
Doing all right. Thank you. Thank you.
Isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that good?
Gosh, Eddie, things have certainly changed since we were at Marchfield last year.
Yeah, hasn't it, Harry? Now they have gorgeous women truck drivers working here.
Yes.
And they're so air-minded. Today I flew over to one of them, cycled around, and kissed her.
And what happened?
I was grounded. Yeah, but Harry.
Yeah?
You know, flying has always fascinated me. This afternoon, I made two trips in a plane.
Two trips?
My first and my last. Oh, Harry. What a trip I had. We went up to 10,000 feet, and I yelled to the pilot. I said, "That's high enough. Take me down. Take me down." He said, "Who, me? I thought you were my instructor."
Wow. Listen here, they're all expert flyers here. He must have been fooling you.
I found that out when he started doing tricks, Harry. Barrel rolls and figure eights and Immelmanns. Then he went into a power dive and said, "I'm halfway through a loop." I said, "You can stop here, brother. My stomach will take it the rest of the way."
I guess he was a pretty good pilot, huh?
Yeah, he was from the South, Harry.
Oh, a Southern boy.
A Southern, yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, you could tell he was a Southerner. Every time he flew his plane up to icy temperature, mint juleps formed on the wings, Harry. Oh, gosh. Once we flew up to 20,000 feet, and suddenly it happened, Harry.
What?
We ran out of gas. We ran out of gas.
20,000 feet in the air?
Yeah.
Well, how did he avoid a crash?
Very simply. He just poured a pint of that corn liquor into the tank. The wing started flapping, and the exhaust burped him right into the stratosphere. When the plane was last seen, it was flying high over Pomona with bloodshot landing gears. I couldn't say burped. I don't know. My good taste. Go ahead, Harry.
Well, now, all kidding aside, Eddie, I didn't think you had nerve enough to fly.
You didn't? Why? No. Flying is nothing, Harry. Why, I even made a parachute jump today.
What?
I strapped on both parachutes, and when
two parachutes? That's silly. Why do you carry an extra one?
Believe me, Harry, where I landed, I needed it. Believe me, Harry. Got ready.
Well, you're a brave guy, Eddie. That parachute jumping is dangerous business.
Not for me. I've got nerves of steel, as this man will tell you when I kissed him before. Nerves of steel have I. Yes, indeed.
He's got some nerves, too.
Yep,
you know.
Shut up.
Tell me, Eddie. Yeah. When you were coming down in this parachute, what did you think about?
Harry, how much can you think about when you leap from the table to the floor in the commissary? And really, incidentally, Harry, did you ever taste that G.I. coffee they give you in the commissary, Harry?
I don't know. G.I. coffee, what is that?
Mud that's been drafted. I'm sending him coffee tomorrow, believe me.
Well, Eddie, getting back to the parachutes, I noticed they have a lot of paratroops around here. You think they're liable to see action pretty soon?
The parachute troops?
Yeah.
Harry Von Zell, one of these days, the Japs are going to see more silk than they ever sent us.
Well, I know our flyers certainly seem anxious to come to blows with the Jap Air Force.
Well, they've had plenty of battles already, Harry. Only last month, the Japs sent a Zero plane on a mission to the Solomons. Pretty soon, the pilot sent a message back to his base. American plane approaching. No visibility. Ceiling zero. 5 minutes later came another message. American plane passed. Plenty ceiling. No zero.
Yes, sir. And our bombers have been giving Tojo plenty of headaches, too.
Oh, that's right, Harry. You have to hand it to our bombardiers. Think of it. They drop their eggs wherever they go, Harry. They do.
Yeah, well, Eddie, let's not talk shop here.
Yeah.
No,
Well, you know, Eddie,
what?
I can't get over the affection these boys have for their place. Look, one of them brought his Liberator bomber right in here with him.
That's not a Liberator bomber, you fool. It happens to be the biggest man in the Army, 407-pound staff sergeant Stackwell. Look at him. You have to forgive Harry, Sergeant Stackwell. He should know you're not a bomber. After all, where could you find a bomber with such a large wing spread?
Now, wait a minute, Eddie.
What?
He's entitled to his appetite. You know, an army moves on its stomach.
Yeah, an army could move on his stomach alone. Believe me, Harry, believe me.
Yeah, and there's room for the Navy, too.
Sergeant, I could never figure out this food rationing business about points and things, why we had to conserve food. But looking at you, now I can understand the whole thing. Sergeant, everybody at Marchfield tells me that you're very popular. Is that right?
I'm essential. The pilots need me for their first solo flight.
Is that so? What does their first solo flight consist of?
Once around me.
Sergeant Stackwell, it must be wonderful when you get a furlough.
Why?
So much of you has a good time. Sergeant, you know, ever since you came on here, I've been curious to know, do you wear those regulation long drawers?
Yeah, and I wash them myself, too. But the colonel made me stop hanging them up outside the barracks.
He made them stop? He made you stop hanging them? How come? How come?
All the kids take a look at them and think the circus has come to town.
Well, that's silly. How could they mistake your long underwear for a tent?
There's a door in the back.
I see. Come in. Well, Dinah Shaw. I saw you talking to some of these fellas today. They're aces here at Marchfield, you know. They've had a lot of experience.
Yes, I know.
They've been flying for a long time.
You mean they've had experience in flying, too?
Dinah, don't tell me that you struck a romantic chord in their parachutes, Dinah.
Romantic? Mr. Cantor, one fella took me up in a plane today and said he'd push me out with no parachute if I didn't kiss him.
Well, did you kiss him?
Well, here I am.
Dinah.
Yes.
Dinah, I'd like you to meet Sergeant Stackwell, the great lover of March Field.
That is true, Miss Shaw. You are my dream girl. I want you to fly away with me.
Fly away? Honey, with that fuselage, you couldn't even get off the runway.
Dinah. Pull up a couple of chairs, Sergeant. Dinah, what an impression you've made on Sergeant Stackwell and all the other men here, too. Why, you gave them just one look and, well, so it shouldn't happen again. The commanding officer has issued new orders.
New orders?
From now on, whenever the men here go up in the air and do wing overs and loops and all kinds of fancy stunts, they simply must take their planes with them.
Oh, Mr. Cantor, you're kidding.
I'm not, honestly. I never realized what wonders that you gals can work with just a look and a smile, honestly.
Well, Eddie, at your age, you're amazed at what a lovely smile means. Didn't your daddy ever tell you anything?
Harry, he just didn't have the time. President Washington kept him so... What am I saying?
Well, just so you'll know, Eddie, an attractive smile is a priceless possession because it adds so much to a person's looks and charm. It naturally follows then, ladies and gentlemen, that your smile deserves intelligent care. See your dentist regularly, and between visits, faithfully use Ipana toothpaste and gum massage. Because healthy gums are mighty important to sound teeth and sparkling smiles. And iPana is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, but when used with massage, it is especially designed to give gums the stimulation they need to help keep them firm and healthy. The exercise they do not get from the soft, well-cooked foods we eat. So it's easy to understand why so many men and women are adopting this famous healthful routine.
Brush your teeth regularly with iPana toothpaste. And every time you do, put a little extra iPana on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums.
So, ladies and gentlemen, make up your mind now to help yourself to firmer gums, brighter teeth, and a more attractive smile with iPana toothpaste and gum massage.
And now Dinah Shaw sings As Time Goes By.
You must remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers move, they still say, I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs never out of date. Full of passion, jealousy, and hate. Woman moves man, and man must have his mate. But no one can deny. It's still the same old story, the fight for love and glory, the will to do or die.
I'd like to have you meet a movie star who gave up her time and risked her life in order to bring entertainment to our boys overseas. Along with Martha Ray and Carol Landis and Mitzi Mayfair, she visited the fighting fronts in England, Ireland, and North Africa. Here she is, our St. Patrick's Day gift to all of you, lovely Kay Francis. I bet you learned a lot watching our soldiers in action overseas.
I did, Eddie. This afternoon, I tried to teach a few of the tricks to some of the pilots here.
Really? Now, tell me, how did you make out?
I lost $12 with my dice.
You played dice with the pilot? Honey, these guys don't get their wings until they can make a four the hard way. And how they love to shoot snake eyes.
Snake eyes? You mean craps?
No, Japs. Yeah, but I bet those boys in North Africa must have been delighted to see you, huh?
Oh, they were, Eddie. After all, I hadn't seen a woman in so long.
I know. Of course, with these boys here at Marchfield, it's different. Why, they had two girls up here last Christmas. I wonder if they let them go home yet. Kay, tell me how... How did the servicemen in North Africa treat you and your girlfriends, huh?
Oh, they were wonderful to us. Why, they even insisted on laundering our hosiery. It was the strangest thing.
Why? What's so strange about it?
Well, imagine a soldier interested in a pair of stockings with nothing in them.
I see what you mean. See, I understand that Dorothy L'Amour may go across to entertain the boys. Is that right?
Well, if she does, I hope she realizes it'll mean doing her laundry.
Her laundry she can do in a Dixie cup. But I can see how your wardrobe must have been quite a problem to you girls.
Oh, it was, Eddie. About 15 shows a week. We couldn't change our clothes until we were finished.
Until you were finished? That's wonderful, Kay, but look at these guys here. They're not going to change their clothes until the Axis is finished. Kay, exactly what did you girls wear overseas?
Well, traveling up to the front, we wore tin hats, high boots, and under our slacks, we had our men's long woolen underwear.
No. Oh, God.
It's all we could get.
Yeah?
And that GI negligee certainly made us feel unglamorous.
Oh, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Why, in the 90s, lots of girls wore long underwear.
Well, with you around, how else could they keep warm?
Is that so? Is that so? Gosh. When I visited the WAC camp last week, my picture was in all the barracks. I don't like to brag, but, well, I'm their favorite pin-up boy.
Pin-up boy?
Yeah, I keep pinning them up, but they keep tearing them down. Kay, I understand that you girls were caught in an air raid in North Africa. Is that right? Did I read in the papers?
Yes, Eddie. Well, during one raid, we four girls were crowded into a small shelter with about 400 soldiers.
Gosh.
For 2 hours, we were in the dark with them.
Yeah.
Well, finally, when the raid was over, the soldiers started to pray.
What were they praying for?
Another air raid.
Tell me something. In these air raids, you had ample protection, I suppose, Kay?
Oh, of course. But on one occasion, I had to jump into one of those open dugouts.
You mean a foxhole?
Well, there was a wolf in this one. You know, Eddie,
yeah.
During our trip, Carol Landis got married.
Oh, yes, yeah, I know. And one of the pilots here, Marchfield, is brokenhearted about it. I found out today he even turned Carol's picture to the wall.
Oh, I feel sorry for him.
Don't feel so sorry. Gypsy Rose Lee is on the other side. Kay, didn't you girls find it difficult to put on shows at the front?
Oh, we managed somehow. One night, we even gave a performance during a blackout.
Well, didn't the soldiers have trouble seeing you?
Listen, when Carol Landis strolled on in a bathing suit, the whole joint lit up just from the gleam in their eyes.
How did you find the natives? I think these boys would be interested. How did you find the natives in North Africa?
Well, the customs in Morocco are very quaint.
Yeah?
See, for instance, when you're invited to dinner, you leave your shoes at the door before going to the table.
You do? In Germany, it's different. They take their shoes to the table, and that's their dinner.
Yes, but what happens with the laces?
Mussolini eats them for spaghetti.
Yep. Morocco is very interesting. Now, why don't you take a trip over there in an army bomber?
In an army bomber? Kay, the only way I would travel is by stork, believe me. By stork, yeah.
But Eddie, you can't go to New York, North Africa by stork.
Listen, after all the business I gave him, the bird will fly me anywhere. But I'm only fooling. Kay, next time you go, I'd like to go across with you.
All right, the deal. Eddie, I know just the pilot who can take us across. He's fearless, he's got nerve of steel, and he can fly through the air like a bolt from the blue.
Well, who? Who?
How do you do?
Gordon, the mad Russian. Russian,
yeah?
Russian, here is a lady who really gets around. She's gone 35,000 miles by plane, 2,000 miles by train, and 7,500 miles by automobile.
Eleanor, how's the president?
The president! No, Russian, this is Kay Francis.
Oh, Kay Francis.
She risked her life to entertain the boys in North Africa. She's a champion of courage. You know that in North Africa, she didn't change her clothes for a whole week?
A week? Miss Francis.
Yes?
Middle champion.
Get rid of it. Russian?
Yes.
What experience have you had as a flyer?
Well, I was the chief test pilot in a burlesque theater.
You were?
Yes.
Test pilot in a burlesque show? What were your duties?
When the girls came down the runway, I watched them take off.
What a pilot.
Besides being a wonderful pilot, I'm a grand bombardier.
No.
Bombardier. Dear.
She wants me.
No! She does not.
Russian, yes. I don't even believe that you're in the Air Corps.
Mine, dear you. I am fighting all the time, and every week I am getting a zero.
How can you do that?
When Camper is paying my salary, zero.
Wait! Oh, why don't you give up, Russian? You're no pilot, and you know it.
Don't say that. That don't say. I was selected by Jimmy Doolittle when he bombed Tokyo.
He chose you as a pilot?
No, he made a bomb out of me.
Kay, I don't think the Russian is capable of flying us to North Africa.
Don't listen to him, Katie. We will have a lovely trip in my 85 motor bomber.
85 motor bomber? How fast can it go?
I don't know. With all those motors, I can't get it off the ground.
No, you're fool. Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
But Russian, look. If it doesn't take off and you're sitting in the plane with Kay Francis, you're not getting anywhere.
Silly boy.
Yeah. Oh, get out.
You know, I just can't get over thinking about the wonderful trip Kay Francis and those other girls made.
Oh, Harry, I wish I could have flown with them. I can just see myself with them and Hedy Lamarr and Ann Sheridan and Betty Grable.
Wait a minute.
And Ina Butts.
No, wait a minute. Hedy Lamarr and Ann Sheridan were not on that trip.
Harry, will you please go away and stop butting in on my dreams, will you, Harry?
All right. The house doesn't have to fall on me, you know. I'll go away. I don't have to stick around and talk silly nonsense with you. I've got more important things to talk about anyway.
Yeah, but Harry, I didn't mean
all
to...
All this idle chit-chat doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah, but Harry,
what
you know...
What I've got to say can really help people, but I don't get a chance...
Yeah, but
to...
Harry, will you stop? If you've got something to say that will help people, I'm not going to stand in your way, believe me.
Well, thank you, Eddie. Ladies and gentlemen, I sincerely hope it is a help to know that whenever you wake up in the morning feeling headachy and under the weather due to the need of a laxative, you will feel better faster if you remember to take Sal Hepatica right away. Because then Sal Hepatica brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. And that means that you don't have to put off till night taking the laxative you need in the morning, and as a result, risk feeling miserable the rest of the day. It's good to know this about Sal Hepatica, too.
Sparkling Sal Hepatica also helps counteract excess gastric acidity, helps turn a sour stomach sweet again.
So tonight or tomorrow, get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist. Then any time you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
A few weeks ago, when Kay Francis returned from her trip abroad, she heard us sing on this program a new number called Coming In on a Wing and a Prayer. Kay thinks it would be most appropriate if we repeated this song tonight. Okay, Kay, here it is. One of our planes was missing, 2 hours overdue. One of our planes was missing with all its gallant crew. The radio sets were humming. They waited for a word. Then a voice broke through the humming, and this is what they heard. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Though there's one motor gone, we can still carry on. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. What a show!
What a fight!
Yes, we really hit our target for tonight.
How we sing as we limp through the air. Look below, there's our field over there, with our full crew aboard and our trout in the load. We're coming in on a wing and a prayer. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. When victory day arrives, as it surely will, and this war-torn world turns once again to the ways of peace, who'll be able to measure the debt we owe our men with wings? Spunky American kids and grooming wildcats, P-38s, liberators and flying fortresses, who have blazed a new trail in our history. Heroic names like Chenault and Doolittle and Cole and Kelly, yes, and other heroic names still unborn. The airmen of our gallant allies, Russia, China, and the undaunted flyers of the RAF who held their tight little isle against the Nazi blitz. Let's toast our fearless men who will yet prove to those Japs that a zero still means nothing. And now to you flyers here at Marchfield, let's all join in the chorus, shall we?
Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Though there's one more to come, we can still carry on. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. What a show!
What a show!
What a fight!
What a fight!
Yes, we really hit our target for in the Lord. We're coming in
on the wing and the prayer.
Thank you, boys. You're a great cast. I'd like to carry you with me. And thank you, Kay Francis. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you all join us next week when we will broadcast from the Civic Auditorium in Pasadena, California, before an audience of men in the armed forces located near there. Our guest will be the lovely, gracious Marlena Dietrich. Ooh. Drop in on us, won't you? And so remember, I love to spend each Wednesday with you. Good night.
This program is written by Joe Quillen, Izzy Ellenson, and Johnny Rapp.